Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you were able to join me. Regardless of where you might be, perhaps getting ready for bed or on your way to work or driving down the freeway or just resting in your home, may the Lord just cause our time together to be richly blessed by the Spirit of God. I want to just pray for you. Father, you see every listener, and Lord, I ask you, regardless of where they are, where they're at, or what they're doing, Lord, that they would feel your presence. Lord, the joy of our Christian walk is that we can not only know by faith that you're with us, that you promised you'd never leave nor forsake us, but Lord, that we can actually experientially sense the presence of the Lord. And Lord, we accommodate your presence by being filled with the Spirit, by being grateful and thankful, having a grateful and thankful heart. Lord, it's one of the strategies of the enemy to cause us to start to murmur and to complain and to grumble, to feel sorry for ourselves, to look at all the negative things. But Lord, we choose to be on the side of the Lord. We choose, Lord, to look at the positive aspect. Lord, no matter how bad the situation might be, there's always a redeeming factor in it. You said you'd cause all things to work together for our good. So there might be those, Lord, listening to me that are just wish they could just go to sleep and not wake up. Just wake up and be with you. But Lord, I ask, I bind that spirit of desolation and hopelessness and desperation. And Lord, cause that desperation to be turned into a desperation for you, Lord, that you are a faithful God and you'll hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I never make light of those that are going through difficult times. I've been through many sore and great trials myself and know what it is to feel really dejected and low. Brother Glass used to say, Lord, in a grasshopper's belly, when you are in the mully grubs of despair. That's another one of his he was from Oklahoma, one of his Okie statements and sayings. But there's, I mean, we can laugh about the saying, but when you're in that place, it isn't funny. It ain't funny. And so you're just crying out to God. But God has, through the word of the Lord and through your responding to Him, there is answer. There is change coming. Hear the word of the Lord. We've been looking at Ezekiel's vision in the valley of the dry bones, and it looked so hopeless. It was, you know, God asked him, you know, Son of man, can these bones live? And he wisely answered, Lord, you know, because obviously to the natural, it certainly didn't look like anything. It was all over. It was done, finished, complete. Nothing could be done. But that's, you see, that's how we perceive situations. That's how you might see situations in your life. There's a woman listening to me right now. That's how you feel about your marriage. It's like, it's over. It's finished. There's just like, there's nothing left. And you're just really troubled and hard, and you just are not certain the next step to take, but you feel like you need to take some steps, if you understand what I'm saying. So, but God wants you to know that His arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. He knows our sorrows. Jesus was a man acquainted with grief. I just think of that beautiful song that we play. It's called The Unveiled Christ, written, I think, in 1917. And the lyrics are, oh, behold the man of sorrows. Oh, behold him in plain view. See, he can relate to the feeling of our infirmities. Lo, he is the mighty conqueror. Since He rent the veil in two. He's done that at His death, that veil of separation between the holy place, God and His people was forever torn, and now we can come before the throne of grace to find grace and help in the time of need. So, beloved, be encouraged today. God wants to touch you, and I've just been so blessed and stirred by the very word of the Lord that we've been sharing. Basically, Ezekiel has this vision of dry bones. God says, prophesy to those bones. He does that. And as he does, he hears a noise coming together, sinews come upon them, flesh, skin, and then they were complete, but there was no life in them. And so in verse 9, he says, then the Lord said, he said unto me, that's Ezekiel, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, that word ruach is it means wind, air in motion, but it's a symbol of and a description of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's the exact same word for spirit in verse 1. And so there's a interceding, a calling out, not only to the natural realm, but into speaking to the Lord. Lord, forsake not the work of your own hands. This is the work of the intercessor, to call forth the very work of God here on the earth, to do the impossible, to do the things that man cannot do. Only God can give life. But as we prophesy, as we call out to God, as we call for the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come, those dead vessels will live. Those skeletons that had flesh put upon them would rise in the power of God. That slain means not, it said, breathe upon these slain, not merely dead, but destroyed by Satan. Hallelujah. Well, there's seven important lessons I think we can learn from this. One is the importance of God's prophetic word. We see that in verse 7 and 8, where he prophesied and the work was done. So that prophetic word creates a vehicle, if you will, to accomplish the divine will. In Revelation 4:11, the word says, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then we see the importance in verse 9 of the breath, that is the wind, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives life and power to perform the divine will. Remember, it's not by might or power, not the mental cleverness or ability of man, or the power or strength of man, but by the Spirit of God. As we look to Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7, in the creation of man, what do we see? The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So as we prophesy, as we speak to the wind, come, breathe upon these slain, breathe on me, O Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the breath, that we used to sing that years ago, breathe on me. Let the breath of God now breathe on me. Hallelujah. Right now, let the breath of the Holy Spirit blow over you to refresh you, to cause you to have new life, that life can enter into you. Hallelujah. And then we see that there is the working of God. These are the important lessons, the importance of the prophetic word, the importance of the breath, and we see the working of God. What was the progression? What was the pattern, if you will? He first had to speak it out through the word of the Lord, and then God performed it. And isn't that what the New Testament says? There were signs and wonders following, signs and miracles as they preached the word of God. So signs and creative miracles acknowledge the work of God. As the Lord keeps saying, you shall know that I am the Lord. Think about what happened when you first came to the Lord. There was a new creature formed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Hallelujah to the Lord. Praise God. How exciting is that? And Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we become alive in God, not a resuscitation of the old, but a brand new creature in Christ. And remember now that that life you received comes from the very breath and Spirit of God. In remember in the account of Nicodemus, when Jesus said you must be born again, and in John the third chapter, verses 3-8, the word says, marvel not, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then what happens? We're looking at the working of God. There's a new creature formed. Life comes by the breath of the Spirit. And then, oh my goodness, let's read verse 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. God is bringing the dead to life. He's opening up the prison house to those that are bound. What is Isaiah 61 and 1? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And beloved, the same Spirit that was on Jesus, he did the works that he did, not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, anointed by this powerful Spirit of God. So today, how could he say, the same works that I do, you shall do also? It's because the Holy Spirit was empowering him. He was a man, very God, but man. And he wasn't doing, you know, some divine divine miracle on the basis of who he was, but because he was the Son of Man, he was obeying the will of God, the will of his Father, by allowing the Holy Spirit to work the mighty works. And we can do those same works through the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, beloved, my heart is yearning for a people. My heart is yearning for a great army, the body of Christ, to arise in the power and the glory of their God, that the attacks of the enemy that has left them desolate and barren and destroyed, that the very breath of God will come and bring life and bring them out of their graves. Ephesians 4 and 8 says that he would lead captivity captive. Romans 6 and 11 says, reckon yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then there was that final process. He, again, there's application to literal Israel, but there was a return, and a restoration to their own land, the land of Israel. And beloved, he's bringing us into the good promises of God, into our own Canaan land, the land of his promise. Well, the time just seems so short on these broadcasts, but I pray that you are getting stirred and inspired as I am. In a moment, the announcer is going to give our contact information. I do invite you to write. I'd love to hear from you. It's always so exciting when I get a letter from what I call a new person, a new member of the radio family. Someone wrote recently, they've been listening for years. What a blessing to receive that letter. I invite you to write. I thank you for your prayers, which are so essential and important, and as well as your financial gifts. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,